And the book of Galatians, the second chapter, verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. And it reads, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for his righteousness where through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to spread your word. I pray that the ears will be here to hear and that you will be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let freedom reign. Before I could talk about letting freedom reign, I must define what freedom is. It's a state, the quality or state of being free. It's also defined as the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in the choice or actions of others. In other words, no one is telling me what to do. I'm free because no one is telling me what to do. I'm free to do what I like to do. Now, that on its own surface, it seems pretty good. In fact, most of us ascribe to that. Why? Because our nature now desires to do just that. When we think about the Garden of Eden and we think about the relationship that Adam had with the Father, Adam was what they call, was in a relationship with God the Father through what they call a theocratic relationship, meaning everything that Adam did, he consulted God before he did it. Even though God gave him dominion over the earth to name the animals, to name the beast, to name the fish, to name everything, he gave him that. He also gave him the opportunity and the privilege to walk through the garden, to touch everything, to see everything. But one thing he didn't do is he didn't give him permission to eat only of one tree. Every other tree, if he wanted to eat from that, he can go ahead and do so. But the tree of life, he could not eat from that tree. Well, God did that for a couple of reasons. One of them was to remind him, even though I gave you dominion over everything on this earth, but the fact that you can walk by the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, knowing that I told you you can't touch that, lets you know and reminds you you're not running the show. I'm still God. I'm still supreme. I am running this show here. And what happened? He gets a wife. The wife engages in a conversation with the enemy. The Bible says the serpent had a conversation with Eve and told Eve, did God certainly say that you should surely die if you ate of this tree? Of the knowledge of good and evil. She says that he said that you shouldn't eat of it nor touch it. Well, that's not what he said. He said you shouldn't eat. He didn't say anything about not touching. But she said, but the Bible says that the tree became pleasant to her eyes. And because of the fruit that was on this tree, she said, and he said, well, the serpent says to Eve, well, there's one reason why God doesn't want you to eat of this tree. There's one reason. And this is the only time Satan actually told the truth. The only time. It's because the day that you eat of this tree, you will be as God, having both the knowledge of good and evil. And what that translates to is you will now have something that no other animal on earth, no other creation underneath heaven has. You would have self-determination. Self-determination simply says you're free. You're free to choose who God is. You're free to choose where God operates, how God operates. You're free to choose whether you're going to eat, where you're going to eat, how you're going to eat, when you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep. You're free to choose all those things. But just like he is the author of confusion, he failed to give a disclaimer. And that disclaimer is simple. Oh, by the way, I tried that method and it doesn't work. I couldn't handle it. That's why I got kicked out of heaven. Because associated with trying to be that way means I now just like God, which makes me better than God, which in essence makes me God. I get to make godly decisions now. I can't handle that. How about you? You might be able to handle it. We have freedom. We want freedom within our government. Every time we look around, we want small government, large government, this government, that government. We want freedom outside the government. Lord, you can't tell me to do this, Mr. Governor. Mr. Mayor, you can't tell me to do this. I want to do that. I want to have this. I want to have that. I want to vote for this. I want to vote for that. We have freedom that we want in our families. I don't want my children to say, look, I love you, Mom, but this is my life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. I want to hang out who I want to hang out with. Never mind the experience you have in life that you can give me that can help me with my life. I want to do my thing. In other words, everybody wants to subscribe to the old Frank Sinatra song, a mantra, he did it his way. We all want to do it our way instead of the way that God intended for us to have it. We also want freedom in the body of Christ. We want to be able to come into a church and dictate what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, where we want to do it. It's from the pastors all the way down. When we start saying how we want to do it, we're leaving out one main thing. How does God want me to do it? What does he say? What does Christ have to say about that? And that's why I entitled this message, Let Freedom Reign. Because we need to let the freedom to serve in Christ reign in our lives instead of having our own sin nature reigning in our lives. Because our old man gets in the way every time. He jacks us up no matter how we slice it. Every time we look around, he messes with us. And so now, we understand that in this text, Paul is addressing the Galatian church. He starts off in this pretty good. He gives salutations. He's saying, thank you, God. I praise God for you people for you doing wonderful things. And then he changes up and he says, some of you are being carried away by a different gospel. There's a different gospel other than the one that I preach that's getting in the way. And it's causing a dissension in the body, and it's minimizing the full grace of Jesus Christ. It's getting in the way of what Jesus Christ died and rose again for. It's not allowing for Christ to be glorified in all that we say and do. And so my main thought is this. The death of Jesus Christ sets us free from the law of sin and death, which is found in Romans 6 and 6. The law of Jesus Christ. The death, rather, of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, because Jesus Christ rose again, and because I now believe that Jesus is Lord, now I'm set free from the law of sin and death. Because sin and death now is what I have that is for me if Christ doesn't die. If Christ doesn't rise again, that's what I'm stuck with. And if he did raise again, if I subscribe to a new gospel that doesn't preach that, I'm still yet under the law of sin and death. And so Paul was telling them, listen, some of you guys believe that it's okay as Christian Jews, it's okay to be into the law It's okay to subscribe to the dietary needs. It's okay to be circumcised. But also, if non-Jewish Christians want to be a part of us, then they have to do the same thing. And salvation by faith doesn't require that. Salvation by faith says, no, you confess in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that he died and rose again, you are a part of this family. They can keep these laws, they can keep them if they want to, but that's not what's going to save them. Not at all. And so the first thing I want to talk about, my first point is, we are free now to put our total trust in Jesus. Because Jesus rose again, we are free to put our total trust in him. Not ourselves, but in him. So what am I saying? Our thoughts are no longer centered on ourselves. When you look at this text closely, Paul begins to talk about him being crucified with Christ. He's demonstrating by saying that the old me, the old man that who was running the show, who was going about persecuting Christians, who was going about putting Christians to death, who was making havoc on the church, who had his own agenda, that agenda no longer is alive in me. I am now going to a new agenda. I have a new directive. I was zealous for the law. I was zealous for the traditions. But those traditions and those laws are no longer the motivating factors in my life. I am crucified. I am dead. I am done away with. Death, from a biblical definition, means separation. The old me is separated from the new me. I am now a new creature, recreated in Christ Jesus. Not to do the works of me, but do the works of God. And so we are now free to put our total trust in him. Question for you. How are you doing in that area? What does it look like in your life? Well, you think about it. Have I been putting my total trust in Jesus? Well, let's think about it. Will my marriage be what it is if I put my total trust in Jesus? Will the circumstances I'm going through be what they are if I put my total trust in Jesus? They very well may be. But how I feel or what I think about my circumstances, will they be the same if I put my total trust in Jesus? They may be different. You still may go through some storms. In fact, you will. But what you think about those storms or how you come out of those storms will be based on how much trust you put in Jesus. Because the enemy wants to enslave you and I or keep us away from being free to put our trust in Jesus. Why? Because he wants us to put it in ourselves. And the last time I checked, every time I put trust in me, I mess up. I get it wrong every time. Especially if I call myself a child of the living King. Because the living King has a whole different objective in life for me than I have for myself. Also, our motives take on a kingdom agenda. So Paul said earlier, what I said about Paul was he would go about persecuting the church, go about gathering up Christians, for the fact of either imprisoning the Christians or killing off the Christians, all because he thought he was doing it to glorify God. And now he's talking about here, some of us, he's saying in the scriptures, some of us are going in by way of a different doctrine, and mainly he was talking about Mr. Peter. He said, Brother Peter, I love him dearly, one of the main chief apostles. Before James, the brother of Jesus, before his people came on the scene, Peter had no issues whatsoever breaking bread with the Gentiles. He was fine with that. He was cool with that. But then when James's party came to the scene, Peter began to take himself out of the picture. He began to recede from being with the Jews, the Gentile Christians. Now, it's very delicate that you treat the Gentile Christians the same way you treat the Jewish Christians, because you're all supposed to be united under one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But yet some of us wanted to hang on to our traditions and our laws that said you're not supposed to eat with people like this. They're considered unclean. But Paul says, wait a minute. That can't be the case. Because circumcision, you're not saved by that. To prove that, Father Abraham, he was counted righteousness unto God before circumcision came about. So how is that possible? We're free now to put our total trust in Jesus, not in ourselves. But also our motives, like I said before, they begin to take on this kingdom agenda by ridding ourselves of self-exhausting desires. Oftentimes, the desires we have that we take in our life, and everywhere we go, they're about exalting us. I'm doing this, it looks like I'm doing this because I love God, but I may not know God the way that I should. So therefore, I'm actually acting out on something that is exalting me. There's many of us who stand up here on Sundays and preach the Word of God. It sounds like we are exalting God, but I'm only doing this, they say, because I want you to give me accolades. It has nothing to do with God. But God says, no, it's not the way it's supposed to be. You do this because you love me, because the old you have been crucified with Jesus. That's why we do it. Our goals are no longer what they were, because our pride is not in place like it was before. When we put our trust in God, our total trust in Him, that pride begins to diminish day by day. Day by day, it goes away, allowing for our total trust. And not only that, we're also free to be empowered by Jesus. Because when I read here, it says that I have been crucified with Christ. He says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So now what am I doing? I'm free to be empowered by Jesus, which is my second one. So what does it look like to be free to be empowered by Jesus? Well, one thing is that I'm no longer trying to obtain my individual goals. My individual goals are no longer top priority. My goals are now based on how Jesus sees me and what He has intended for me to do. Paul knew this very well, because Paul's intentions were to do the things that satisfied the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Well, some of us, we do things to satisfy our boss, satisfy our spouse, satisfy our pastor, satisfy whoever. Jesus says it's not about satisfying everyone. And guess what? It's really not even so much about satisfying me. Jesus says, no. I don't want you doing this thinking you're satisfying me. I want you doing this because you are allowing me to empower you to do the things you do. And when I am empowering you to do the things that you do, you are satisfying me. Because Paul is saying, I can go on a whole thing of life trying to satisfy God, but yet not be empowered by God to do it. God is saying, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to be empowered by me. Freedom reigning that I trust in God so much that my thoughts, my agenda are no longer mine. Free to be empowered by Jesus. Here's another question. Who's empowering you? When it comes to your desires, when it comes to your goals, who's empowering you? He says, I no longer live. The old me does not live here anymore. There's a resurrected Christ, indwelling Christ, who now lives within me. He is inside of me. He is the one that empowers everything that I do. Will I make mistakes? Yes. Will I veer off the course? Yes. I will do those things. But as long as he's still there, there's still an opportunity for him to empower me. There's still an opportunity for him to do some things that I never thought I would do before, to bring him glory. There's quite a bit of things that God has for you. He wants to encourage your heart, even on today, that you would begin to say, God, I give you freedom. Freedom to reign in my life. Freedom to empower me. But God, I want you to just increase my freedom to trust you. To trust everything that you would have me to do, knowing that it's coming from you. But that comes from a relationship. It can't happen on its own. No one here trusts anyone that you don't have a relationship with. Can't say that you do. It's impossible. But if you had a relationship with him, then you say, I trust you. I trust you like no tomorrow. Then the indwelling Christ becomes a source of power for direction in our lives. Because Christ becomes our source of strength. And guess what? Our trust in him increases daily. When Christ becomes the power, the source of power for me to live this new life that I have now in Christ, my trust in Christ begins to get more and more and more. And the more I trust Christ, the more he empowers me. The more he empowers me, the more I trust him. And the more I trust him, the more he would be moving in my life like no tomorrow. And he'll do the same for you. The exact same thing. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to get to a place to where we trust him like never before. He wants to empower us not to do things that satisfy our own desires, to help us with our own goals and our own agenda, but empower for the kingdom agenda. There's many work to do done in the kingdom of God. And we can't do it on our own strength, because the first thing we need to do is we need to walk in this newness of life that we have so that the power of God may flow through us to strengthen us. Because when you think of him being saying that he's crucified with Christ, you think of the fact that he's now dead. Well, the question becomes, how can a dead man live? If he's dead, well, the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. The power of Jesus that's flowing through me. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, flowing through me. This vessel, giving me the strength to deal with the sins that I have to deal with. To deal with the desires that are normally in my head to deal with. Christ gives me the power to deal with those things as well. Because after you get saved, that does not mean that your sin nature does yet not want to continue to sin. But you don't have to be a slave to that sin. Christ strengthens us and allows us to be able to make it through so that we're no longer entrapped by that, but we're exercising our freedom. Can you imagine what it's like to have a life that's free to embrace the power of Jesus? Can you imagine what your life would look like? I believe that my life would be far better if I embrace this completely and allow the power of Jesus to reign in my life every day. I believe that if I trusted Jesus more than I do today, that my relationship with Jesus, that my thoughts, that my desires will be minimized tomorrow than they are today. I believe that if Jesus Christ, if I allow him to just do what he desires to do in me and through me, I got to tell you this. I know for a fact that more people will hear the gospel. I know for a fact I would be a better husband. I would be a better father. I would be a better co-worker. I would be a better man. I would be a better man of God. I would be a better minister. I would be so much better if I allowed myself the freedom to trust Jesus more and more. Because if I'm honest with myself, I'm not doing it. If I'm honest with myself, he's not empowering me. I'm not allowing him to empower me the way that he desires to, if I'm honest with myself. The evidence is clear. The evidence is clear in my life that that's not happening. How about your life? When you think about it, is the evidence clear? I want to get to a point where freedom is reigning in my life to trust in him, to be free, to allow him to empower me to do what he's calling me to do, to strengthen me in every area. I want to be more dependent on Christ for decisions that I make. I don't know about you, but I made some bad decisions in life. But I want to be empowered by Jesus Christ that those decisions will be, as I stated early in the message, just like it was before the fall of man, when Adam would always consult with God on everything that he was supposed to do. I would love for me to be able to allow myself to be free, to be empowered by Christ, to where every decision I make is a Christ-centered decision. One where I say, Jesus, I can't figure this out. Even if I think I could figure it out, I'm going to say, Jesus, I need your approval on this. Because as Pastor Felton always says, when you're in a room by yourself, you tend to believe yourself, right? So I want to get to a point where, Jesus, I need you to help me make this decision. This is something that's really important, because everything we think about is important. It's important to God. So Jesus, empower me to reach that decision. And so when I'm free to put my trust in Jesus, when I'm free to be empowered by Jesus, that allows me to be free to live for Jesus. That's interesting. Which is my last point, free to live for Jesus. Up until this time, when we all, before we got saved, got to admit, he had a nice life. Oh, it was a wonderful life, like that old movie. It was a wonderful life. Before, you got to admit, tell the truth to yourself, before you came into the saving knowledge of Jesus, you had a nice, fun life. You are saved. We were living for the weekend. We were living for paycheck to paycheck. We were living for our boyfriends, girlfriends, living for the next car, living for the next game, living for the next drink, living for the next high. We were living for free for the next whatever. And if we were living for those things, then that means we were being empowered by those things as well. How far did that get us? And if we were being empowered by those things, that means we also trusted in those things. So Paul's saying, you know, there should be a difference in your life when you decide that you're going to let freedom reign in your life, that there should be some evidence that you trust Jesus. There should be some evidence that he's empowering you, because the life you live now is not your own. That's interesting. Because no matter how much I want to come to Jesus, no matter how much I want him to save me, no matter how much I want him to fill me with his Holy Spirit presence, the more I still say, you know what, I still want to do this. I still want to go there. I still want to say this or that. I still want to get upset and angry with you when you make me mad. I still want to withhold forgiveness from you even though you said something I didn't like. I still want to do this and that. I still want to look at her. I still want to cheat. I still want to drink. I still want to do all these things. Jesus saying, that's not living for me. Not living for me at all. Not one way or another. If you trust me, if I'm empowering you, then that means my faith in you should be ever increasing. Jesus saying, your faith in me should be ever increasing. Day by day. Jesus wants us to live with the ever increasing faith in him and on him to do everything that we do. Can you imagine what our lives would look like? When we leave this sanctuary, folks would see the ever increasing faith that you have in Jesus Christ. They would see that something's powering you differently than what's powering me. Something, it seems like when the reports from the government comes out and it doesn't sound good, you don't let it rattle you like it rattles me. You'll be able to tell them, because I'm free to put my trust in Jesus. Well, how come when we're sitting here and we're contemplating committing a big sin or a sin, well, you always find a way to back out? Well, Jesus Christ empowers me. He strengthens me to be able to say, no, that's how I used to do. I don't roll like that anymore. However, such as I do have, I will give unto you. Put down that joint and let's talk. We can talk about Jesus. Because after all, when we do those things, initially we think we do it out of recreation, but it becomes a crutch for us to be able to hide and mask some things that are going on in our lives. And that'll be the perfect opportunity to get someone to talk about what's really going on. What are we trying to cover today? So we're talking about living. Our faith in Jesus is increasing day by day. And when we have increasing faith in Jesus, what does that look like? That means the effectiveness of what we're doing for Christ becomes more and more evident. Oftentimes we're not effective for Christ is because we're not freely living in Jesus. If I'm living in Jesus and my faith is increasing, then Christ begins to be far more effective in my life than it would be otherwise. My life wouldn't be the same way. Your lives would be the same way if we allowed ourselves to do our own thing. But if we have Christ and our faith is increasing in Christ, Christ, remember, he's on the inside of me. He's empowering me. My thoughts, my goals are no longer self-centered. They're no longer full of prideful thoughts. They're thoughts of what God would have me to do. So now I am being used in an effective way because Christ is only going to use us for the effectiveness of the kingdom of God. He's not going to waste any time, any motion, any movements with us. He's going to use us in an effective manner. Perfect example, we're not a huge church here. Look around, we're not huge. But because we're allowing ourselves to be free to live in Jesus, free to trust Jesus, free to be empowered by Jesus, we're doing some things that churches that are 3 times, 10 times our size can't do and won't do. We have people here that love one another, that know one another, that have relationships with one another, fellowship with one another. We have no issues giving freely to our co-op to where we can have other churches being planted, missions being planted. We have the majority of our people here that are part of connection groups. That is an example of allowing ourselves to have freedom in Christ. That's a perfect example of that. Because no one is making us go to the connection groups. We're making a conscientious decision to say, Christ, I want you. I want to reign. I want you to have the freedom to trust you. So I'm going to trust you to set aside. I'm going to set aside a day. I'm going to trust that you're going to meet me there on that Wednesday or that Thursday, and that you're going to impart inside of me something that is going to help me grow and be a better person in the kingdom of God. And that takes place. And sometimes we may not feel like doing it. Sometimes we may have our own things we want to do. Brother Wayne, doesn't Christ empower you every time? Christ, Wayne comes all the time. I thank Christ for his power, strengthening me to come and do, to be a part of this. Because we can give, and you know, Wayne, we can give ourselves an excuse as to why we can't come. I just got off work. I'm tired. Just drove a long way. I just drove 80 miles from work to come to our group. Hey, Lord, I'm tired. I don't want to go. Good. Sit back. I'll have your wife take you to the house. I'll power you. I'll strengthen you to be able to sit, to be able to take part of the fellowship and facilitate. I'll do that. If you are willing to allow me to empower you, I'll do that. I'm free to live. How does that freedom look for you? To live in Jesus. We're no longer living for the world, what the world cries that we should live for. We're living for Jesus. Yes, we're in it, but we're not of this substance. Amen? And so when we're free to live in Jesus, we also are living life under the authority of Jesus. Living our lives under the authority of Jesus. Now, when I live my life under the authority of Jesus, what am I saying? I don't have to worry about man's law. I don't have to worry about pleasing anyone. I don't have to worry about someone liking me, not liking me, not approving of me, approving of me. I don't have to worry about any of those things because I live under the authority of Jesus. Every area of my life comes under his authority. It sounds like I'm reverting back to the original relationship between Adam and God. Well, in essence, that's what we're doing. Freedom is reigning. Freedom is reigning to the extent to where every area of my life is under his authority. One thing our children wants to know is they want to know, well, Mom, Dad, I see you here. I want to know, who do you answer to? Yeah, you're telling me. You're telling me what to do. You're telling me where I should go. You're telling me what time I should be back. Who are you answering to? And so you tell them, the one I answer to, I have two choices. I can either answer to man who has the ability to penalize me monetarily, physically, or I can answer to the greatest God there ever was, the only true God, and answer to him because now eternity is at stake. And so when I live my life under the authority of Jesus, I'm living my life with the eternity in mind. Everything I want to do as far as the authority of Christ, how does this relate to eternity? Not tomorrow, not next week, not even 100 years, but eternity. How does that look? And so I ask him that. And it's evidenced by Christ working in and through us. So Christ is working through you, working through you, working through you, working through me. That's the evidence of having a life that's under the authority of Jesus Christ. So I must ask myself a question. If there were a panel standing up here now, not only they're here now, but yet they had a chance to follow me in my life, what would they be able to say that bring as far as evidence that shows that I am living a life that's under the authority of Jesus Christ? That's how I must look at it. because we may not be able to bring that panel here now, but rest assured that panel exists. That panel really exists. And that panel is either your friends, your coworkers, your family, or your neighbors. And it's all centered around how hypocritical you are. If I'm a hypocrite, they're not going to come visit my church. They're not going to consider the saving grace of my Lord and Savior. But if my life is lived under the authority of Jesus Christ, the one thing I'm not going to be is I'm not going to be judgmental in their life. I'm not going to be hypocritical in their life. I'm actually going to be loving. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be respectful. But if the bridge was crossed and now I'm bonding, I now have an opportunity to do what does Pastor Felton say? Share truth. That leaves for the opportunity to share truth. Whether it be in the living room, the golf course, whether it be at the restaurant, or even in this setting here, the reason why is because of the evidence of having Christ as your authority in your life. Because when Christ is authority in your life, and there's evidence of that, you have a good name wherever you are. People say, that guy is okay. I may not necessarily agree with his religion, his theology, and all that stuff, but he's a good guy. That's a start. That's better than saying, I want no part of what he's talking about, what he's doing. Every time I see him, all he's doing is forcing this Jesus down my throat. But every time I see him, he's cursing out his wife. He's kicking the dog. He's breaking windows at his home. He's doing all this kind of crazy stuff. No, not at all. So the authority of Jesus is evidenced by Christ working in our lives. In my conclusion, freedom of Christ is not something to be taken lightly. So let us surrender all that we are to Christ so that he may be glorified in our life. That conclusion is something that is very dear to the kingdom of God and also very dear to me, because we don't want to take our freedom to live in Christ lightly, because the effectiveness of your life and my life depends upon that. But not only that, the final eternal destination of the life of someone you know may depend on it as well. Because that person that knows you, based on allowing freedom to reign, to trust Christ, to be empowered by Christ, to live for Christ, if that is not evidence in your life, what happens is the person that you know, the person that you grew up with, they may not ever want Christ in their life. That's why it's so important. And that's why the closing says, so that God may be glorified. And so what I say is, God, how can you be glorified in what I'm about to say and what I'm about to do? I didn't say where I'm about to go, because who knows where God's going to take me? Who knows? But wherever he takes me, he would be the one to send me, because he would be the one to empower me to go wherever that is. And he knows where I'm weak, so he's not going to let me go some places where I'm weak. Okay? If I've been doing crack all my life, he's not going to say, son, I want you to go to the crack house and minister. No. He'll get someone else who's been there, done that, who understands that. Amen? So at this time, we've heard what it's like to let freedom reign, not only in our lives as it relates to apart from Christ, but we know now what it's like to let freedom reign in our life with Christ. And this message comes to encourage both those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. This message appeals to both, because the ones who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, my prayer is that you would walk away increasing in those three areas: trust, empowerment, and living in Christ. But for us who doesn't know Christ and the pardon of our sins, this message comes to let us know that my way is not the best way, because my way only gets me by in a temporal setting, meaning is when I'm dead, then my way is done, but now I have to face the judgment of God. And so at the sound of my voice, with all every head bowed and every eyes closed, I want to extend the opportunity. If someone here today who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if this is the first time you've prayed this prayer and you're sincerely about this prayer, I want you to raise your hand when I'm done. But I want you to pray it with me if you have not prayed it before. If you've prayed it before, don't worry about it. Father God, I confess that you are the Lord. I confess that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe in my heart that he is the Son of God. And also I confess that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short in the glory of God. And you said that if I confess right now and believe in my heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that I shall be saved. Father, I confess. Forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If this is the first time, if you prayed,